on Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Racing HQ. Here's On The Pace.
Lazarus has raced up to Tiger Tara. Lazarus, Tiger Tara. Chicago Bull can't get there. Lazarus in front. Chicago Bull goes to second. But it's the great New Zealander, Lazarus. Lazarus has won the Inter Dominion.
27:11. Let's see what's happening on the pace this week. Greg Hayes, good morning.
Good morning to you, Cozzy. We've got a lot to get through today. Of course, the Vic Cup will be run on Saturday night at Tabcorp Park, Melton, and we will be having a look at that race. The barrier draw will take place later today at about 1:30 at a function in Melbourne. So that will really go a long way to deciding the result of the race. But it has really thickened up and strengthened that race. Obviously, the move to October last year, the race was dominated by Lenny the Shark on that occasion. And look, if Chicago Bull draws to lead on Saturday night, then he's going to take a lot of beating and he'll be a short price favourite as well. But there looks to be an incredible amount of depth. On the show today, we're going to catch up with Gary Hall Sr., who is the trainer of Chicago Bull. He was the winner of the JP Stratton Cup at Gloucester Park on Friday night. So we'll catch up with Sr. this morning. Also want to chat with Kima Frenning. Kima is driving Rapper's Delight, and of course Rapper's Delight won the Smoking Up Sprint on Saturday night. But Kima, very, very talented horsewoman, has a Swedish background, comes from Sweden, and we're going to catch up with Kima today, find out a little bit about Rapper's Delight, but also find out a little bit more about Kima and what drew her to Australia and what changed her from a Monty rider into, at the moment, a top 15 driver in Australia. She currently sits equal 14th. Nationally in terms of winning drives. And just having a look, there's only two female drivers above her in that list, and they are Danny Hill and also Amanda Turnbull. Amanda sitting third on the national premiership, Danny Hill sitting fourth. So Kima doing a fantastic job. And another guest I want to catch up this morning with is Josh Gallagher, who's a young guy and making a name for himself in the sport. And he too finds himself in the top 20 drivers in Australia and has had an amazing start to the season. But first up on the show, what about the weekend? It was very interesting at the Red Mile. In fact, it was great racing all week there, but fantastic for interested parties from down under. We had Chartin race extremely well on the final day of the program. That was on the Sunday meeting. She won. Of course, she raced here in Australia, trained by Dean Braun. She started her career in New Zealand. She's been the standout mare over there in America. And we also saw Lily Stride win. But on the Saturday program, the clash between McWicked and Lazarus, it was round four in the rivalry. It went to McWicked, giving each horse two victories. More importantly, at the Red Mile meeting, McWicked became the second fastest race-winning horse ever when he recorded a blistering 146.2 for the mile. We've caught up with his trainer, Casey Coleman, previously, and she's joining me on the show this morning. Casey, thanks for your time.
No problem. Thanks for having me.
What an outstanding performance from McWicked on the weekend. You must have been thrilled with it.
Yeah, he was awesome. I couldn't have been any happier. He came into the race really good. I was really happy the way everything looked coming into the race and the way the race set up. And couldn't have been any happier. Everything went good.
The track was obviously on fire. They went a world trotting record earlier on in the card. But were you surprised with the time that McWicked went?
I wouldn't say it surprised me at the time, just because I know what class of horses those are, and that track, the Lexington Red Mile, is the fastest track I've ever raced a horse over. That anybody that's been there, that Red Clay strip is very, very fast. Like, I say it's at least 2 seconds faster than almost any track that I've ever been to, so I wasn't surprised at all at the time. I knew we'd be going a big, big mile.
Does it take anything out of the horses when they go that fast more than normal? Is it a case of it takes them a little bit longer to recover than they normally would?
It could. Wicked was, he was a little bit tired the next day. Like, that was a big mile, and he's obviously a little bit tired the next day, and then we had to ship about 11 or 12 hours to get him back to New Jersey. So he was a little tired, no doubt, but he's an old horse, and he'll bounce back and be ready for Saturday on our next time that we're in against each other, I'm sure.
Yeah, look, he's had a fantastic year, then, and obviously there's still a couple of targets before it all ends this year for him, but we're going to see round five in that clash between McWicked and Lazarus on the weekend at Yonkers in the Invitational. That should be another cracking race.
Yeah, it should be. I wasn't planning to go to that race. That was the last minute we got invited. It's a $250,000 race that we got an invite sent to us. I had planned to bring him home to Canada, prep him for the Breeders' Crown, have a week off, prep for the Breeders' Crown, and I had everything planned perfect. We got invited to that race, and 250 is hard to say no to, and the owner wanted to go, so we're going. And everything seems good with the horse, saying that he's not as good on the half. He gets around the half fine, but he's never the same horse on the half as he is on the bigger track. So I don't think I've even won a race with Mick Wicked on half-mile track. So I'm not real sure what to expect on Saturday because he's just not the same horse at the half. But I'm looking forward to the Breeders' Crown when we get to Poconos back on the 5-8.
All right. So is he goes straight to Pocono after Saturday?
Yes, after Saturday. I'm really hoping that the Breeders' Crown doesn't fill eliminations and that they get the week off and then go to the final, because we're if they go to the final, I'm going to be at my sixth race in a row with no week off going in the Breeders' Crown final with a lot of shipping in between. A lot of those tracks were a far way away. So it's not the way that I normally would prep a horse. Like I said, I had planned a schedule where we were going home to Canada, week off, rest, go to the Breeders' Crown. But when we got invited to that race, let's say it's hard for the owner. I don't own the horse, and it's hard to say no to a $250,000. So we're going, and we'll hope for the best. And if they give a week off for the Breeders' Crown a limb, if they don't fill a limb, we'll be in good shape. But if we go eliminations, Wicked's obviously going to be a little bit tired coming up to the Breeders' Crown final. So it's not the way that I normally would prep a horse, but we're going to do our best job to get him there.
We know all about his sire down here, McArdle. And when I spoke to you last time, there wasn't any interest at that stage from studs for Mick Wicked. Surely things have changed since then, especially with that win on the weekend.
Yeah, since his last few big wins that he's had after the Canadian Pace and Derby when he won, and now this time, he's got three different stud firms from down here contact us. Nobody's contacted us. I'm kind of surprised. Usually it seems like people in New Zealand, Australia are the first ones calling me on all the stallions I've had, but nobody has called me yet from New Zealand or Australia. So we're obviously all ears. If anybody's listening, we do. The owner does want to eventually send stud. Saying that, I don't know if he might race him another year next year. The owner, he's 86 years old, and this is the best horse he's ever had. And he's a wealthy man, and he's enjoying him racing. So I don't know whether he will stand next year or race another year yet, but we're definitely all ears to any offers looking to stand him stud.
You've trained some very nice horses in your career, and you mentioned some of those horses have gone on to have very good careers at stud. Where does Mick Wicked sit in the list of good horses that you've trained now?
Well, it's confusing because he's like, I've never had a horse like him. We're at three. He made $1.5 million. He won everything. He won the Thrill of the Year. Was a great horse. I then lost him for a few years, and now he's back. He's 7 years old now. I've never had a horse. Usually my horse has gone to stud by now. I've never had a horse at this age doing what he's doing, and he's my fastest horse, 46-2. He's my most money won by a horse. I believe he's about $3.5 million now. He's very sound. He's a big, good-looking horse. Very. I can't believe how sound he is at 7 years old, and the wind he can take. Like anyone that's watched him race, he's been parked the whole mile in one. He's been first over many, many times. Like the other day when he got second over, he doesn't get very many second over trips. It seems like he's either parked almost the whole way or he's first over and grinding, and he just never gets tired. He just keeps digging. So he's definitely, I hate to rate all my studs, but he's definitely right up there.
I'm amazed how the horses cop the weekly racing over there, and then they travel as well, and it's a long, long way to truck compared to what we'd see here in Australia or New Zealand. Is the ability to recover and travel half the secret to being a good horse in North America?
Oh, 100%. I've had horses that are nervous and don't ship well. As soon as I see a baby I bought that's nervous and doesn't ship well and doesn't settle, you know that horse just simply isn't going to be a good horse. You need to make sure that the horse stays wherever he races. He needs to be close to the track he's racing at. And the good horses, simply, they ship a lot. They ship all over North America. Mick Wicked, he'll lay down and sleep in the trailer while we're shipping. And he has shipped, seems like almost every week he's shipping somewhere 8, 10, 12 hours. And the good horses need that. They can't be aggressive and fired up. And all the good horses I've had go to stud, all of them have been calm and ship well and come out of it good. And I've had some horses I thought were going to be, they're very fast animals, and I thought they would be good competitive horses, but they simply couldn't handle the shipping and the stress of it. So they weren't a good horse because they worked themselves up too much on the shipping.
Well, Casey, fantastic training performance on the weekend. We look forward to the race on the weekend at Yonkers, and we will cover that down here in Australia, and then of course the Breeders' Crown as well. Congratulations with the job you're doing with Mick Wicked, and we look forward to seeing him clash with Lazarus again this weekend.
Thank you very much.
There she is, Casey Coleman, trainer of McWicked, joining us on the show to have a chat. But there you go. There would be a couple of stud farms here in Australia listening to that. If they're not listening live, I've got no doubt that they will be listening on the podcast. So the offer's there. They're surprised they haven't had a call from Australia and New Zealand. The son of McArdle, we know McArdle well. And obviously there's been a lot of interest in McWicked due to the fact that McWicked and Lazarus have been racing one another. And you've got a case where they've now had the four clashes. McWicked's probably now, he's picked up the Canadian Pacing Derby, so he picked up the biggest race, and then he's run that 146.2, whereas Lazarus's two victories came at Hoosier Park when he won the Dan Patch and he also won the Indiana, or the Hoosier Park Derby. So 2-2, they go to Yonkers on Saturday. So it's Sunday morning our time. It's going to be about 8 o'clock. We will be covering it on Sky Racing, so you can tune in and watch that on Sunday morning after the Victoria Cup on Saturday night. Set your alarm, get up and watch McWicked go around against Lazarus. Interesting to hear what Casey had to say about McWicked's ability to get around the half-mile track. Now, if you don't follow a lot of Yonkers racing, half-mile track, inside barriers are a huge advantage. McWicked has drawn better than Lazarus. I think McWicked's come up with two. Lazarus might be in five. But we know how good Lazarus is getting around those half-mile tracks because we saw it at Gloucester Park. He can get around the half-mile tracks, he might have that little advantage over McWicked on the weekend. Well, Kima Frenning, she's a driver making waves in the harness racing industry in her adopted country of Australia. She drove the winner of the Smokin' Up Sprint on Saturday night when Rapper's Delight proved too strong, and that could be a key lead-up before Saturday's Victoria Cup. And Kima's joining me on the show. Good morning, Kima.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Really well. Rapper's Delight has really come on this campaign. He's developed into a really nice horse. He's taken a big step. He's now a genuine chance in the Victoria Cup, especially if he gets a good barrier draw later today.
Yeah, for sure. You know, Saturday was sort of his first test against out of his age group and against the big boys, and he really proves that he's up there with them, you know.
He looked to be, he was going to be in a really close finish on Saturday night, and he had to find, and he kept grinding, and he wanted to find the line. He comes across as a horse that's got a really good will to win.
Yeah, he does for sure. On Saturday, he was fighting really hard, like you said, and he wasn't going to let the other horses pass him. He's a little bulldog.
This weekend, it's obviously a step up again. Chicago Bull comes across from WA, and you've got horses from New South Wales going down as well. So the barrier draw later today is going to be super important.
Yeah, for sure. You know, in these races with all these good horses, you just hope for, you know, a bit of luck and a good barrier draw. And he's going really good, the horse, and, you know, he's pulled up really well from Saturday.
Kima, I first bumped into you when Hector JJ was competing in Perth for the Inter-Dominion a couple of years ago, and your development since then has been unbelievable. You come from Sweden. Did you have a lot to do with horses back home?
Yeah, I did. I was working. I started out doing pony trots, and then I was working for a couple of trainers back home, but I never really did it full-time. Then I came over here, and it was only meant to stay for 3 months, and then I just loved it, so I decided to stay.
And when you first arrived in Australia, you're doing a bit of Monty riding here, but you made the decision to go to a full-time driver. What made you want to start driving in the races?
Because I love the home part, you know, looking after them and the training part. But I also like the competitive part, and the Monty races sort of, they weren't that many of them and they didn't stand up. So I thought I'd just give it a little go with the driving, and it took a long time before I actually, you know, knew what I was doing.
It's given you some great opportunities. You went back to Sweden earlier this year. You got to drive at Solvalla in that invitational race. You won it. That must have been pretty special for you.
Oh, it was so special. That was actually the first, you know, race that I drove back home. I'd done a couple of Montys and that, but never in a sulky race. So it was so special, you know, to get to come back and drive in that race. You know, I've just had so many good people around me that's been supporting me and helping me out throughout the way.
So what is your future? Where does your future lie? Is it here in Australia? You've made a cracking start to the season. You're the in the top 15 drivers in the country. You're the third leading female driver in the country. You've already got 14 wins this season. Where does your future lie in harness racing?
Yeah, I'd want to stay here and keep doing what I'm doing because I really enjoy it over here. And I've got no plans of moving back home at the moment.
Yeah, well, Saturday night could be even more special. You've had some big wins lately, but Rapper's Delight's going to be a live chance going into Saturday night. So all the best of luck with him and good luck with your career going forward.
Thank you very much, Greg.
There she is, Kima Frenning, has done an amazing job. She's come from nowhere, basically. Was working for, and still does, works for the David Aiken stable and was travelling around and doing a lot of work with Hector JJ and Lenny the Shark. And she's obviously been here for quite some time. But that was the first time I met her, and she's one of those trainers or those people who attention to detail. It's unbelievable. And her driving has come on. She admitted then she's probably, when she first started, as most, probably struggling a little bit to compete. She'd produce some really good drives, and then she might throw in the odd, ill-judged drive, but that's all changed. She is now one of the most consistent drivers out there, and as mentioned, top 15 drivers in the state for the season. She's had 40 drives for 14 wins, and I think she's been placed 9 times as well, so her strike rate is unbelievable. The favourite for this weekend's Victoria Cup is Chicago Bull, and if he draws well today, he will be even shorter with tab.com.au. Gary Hall Sr. is the man who puts the polish on Chicago Bull, and he's joining me on the show. Morning, Sr.
Good morning, Greg. How are you?
Mate, really well. More importantly, how is Chicago Bull after he's winning the JP Stratton on Friday night?
Yeah, I couldn't have him any better, Greg. I've got no excuses. If he travels well, then everything should be fine.
So what are the plans? What happens with him between now and Saturday night?
Oh, he's going to have a light hopper run tomorrow morning here. He flies out tomorrow night. We'll get in about 1 o'clock on Thursday morning. Give him an easy day Thursday, just a little jog on Friday, and he should be ready to go.
And there's been a lot made of the fact that he's coming across east. You've mentioned that you can't have him any better. So you've got to come across with some confidence.
Oh, I'm pretty confident. I'm very confident that he'll go well no matter what. I think he's a deserved favourite. I think his form's probably as good as anything in Australasia for the last 12 months. And I don't know where all the negativity comes from, and the fact that they're all carrying on about how I wouldn't travel with him and all that. I will travel with him, but that they wanted me to go to the Victoria Cup last year for a $200,000 race after the program that he had. I think that would be taking him to the slaughter sort of thing. And if they keep dropping these big races, that's what's going to happen. They're not going to be that strong.
Is the Victoria Cup's obviously an important race, but the big one you want and the main meal is the New Zealand Cup, which comes up second week of November. How important is a race like that to you? Because you have won so many big races in Australia. Of course, you've dominated the Inter-Dominion in recent years, and you've dominated WA racing. But to win a New Zealand Cup, how special would that be for you?
Oh, terrific, because I've got a real affinity with New Zealand and the people over there. We've got friends and relations over there, and my wife's a Kiwi. And, we just love it over there when we go for I've been every Christmas for the last 12 years to New Zealand, and I went to, 11 or 12 New Zealand Cups in a row. And I always thought I'd love to have a horse in this race, and I nominated the Mighty Quinn 3 times, and it was like the kiss of death every time I nominate him, something happened to him. I'm not afraid to travel, but I don't travel unless I really think I've got a very realistic winning chance with a horse. And that, on that level, it's not that easy. And that's why, you don't get that many people coming over here just trying to pick up the WA Pacing Cup and the Fremantle Cup. They're good money races. They don't come because of the travel, and two, because the opposition is high class. And that's the reason I don't travel with lesser horses.
You've Have you tried to teach him, or not teach him, but get him used to some different things this campaign? Because Junior hasn't been aggressive in every race. He hasn't gone to the front in every race. He's been happy to sit outside horses in case that he gets into a big race and he does have to do a little bit of work rather than rolling straight to the front. Was that the reasoning behind making him do a little bit of work in some of those races?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know whether it was a conscious decision. I think one of the races he sat in the breeze because he reckoned the rail was no good. I don't know about you, but I'd rather be on the fence than outside the leader, no matter what. But yeah, he, I leave it all to him because he's the one that knows what he's doing. You know, he's a great driver. I don't think there's many better than him in Australasia. So, really with Bully, he's so versatile. You can do anything with him. That's the good part about him. He's got speed. He can sprint. He's tough. But, you know, there's not many downsides to him. You know, like he's very versatile. That's why he had a better head-to-head record against Soho Tribeca, because Soho Tribeca was a little bit one-dimensional in that he had to be up outside the leader or in front. And Chicago Bull's not like that. If the race is run breakneck, he can come from last. If it's run slowly, he can make a mid-race move and put himself into the race, and that's the beauty of having a horse like that.
That's probably the big issue, isn't it? Because a lot of people tagged him Mini Quinny because he was running those devastating races from the tail of the field, but he doesn't have to be driven ice cold. And if he draws to lead on Saturday night, I've got no doubt that Junior will be using the gate that he gets.
Yeah, I've got no doubt about that. You know, he thinks the same as me. If he led, he'd be unbeatable. Like, if you only have to look at his run in the Fremantle Cup where he ran third, he sat in the breeze outside of Better's Fire, held Lazarus three wide for the entire race and only got beat half a length. You know, that was 2,500 metres. So, you know, there's no chink in his armour as far as that's concerned. So if he draws the lead, he'll lead, and he'll be very, very hard to get over, I can tell you.
So Victoria Cup, will he do anything between the New Zealand Cup, between the Vic Cup and the New Zealand Cup?
Yeah, he's flying over on Thursday, the 18th of October, to New Zealand.
Yep.
And he won't do much after the Vic Cup for a little while because he's got a lot in front of him. And then he's going to race on the 26th of October at Auckland in a 2,200-metre standing start race. I presume he'll get 20 metres because that's the maximum back mark. And he's never had a stand, so that's going to give us some idea. Not a great idea because obviously there won't be many on the same mark as him, you know. So he'll just come out and see how he goes in that race. And then we'll head down south for the New Zealand Cup and maybe even a run in the Cup trial before the New Zealand Cup.
Okay. And will you hang around for the free-for-all or you just get through the Cup first?
I'll get through the Cup first, but I'll put him in the free-for-all. And while we're there, we might as well go for it, you know.
Yeah.
So it's just, I just want to showcase him now because, you know, he's had so many knockers and it's a little bit the same as Quinny. And even though it's well established that I don't think he's anywhere near the horse that the Mighty Quinn was, but he's a very, very good horse. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, West Australia, I think it's sold short the number of good horses that have come out of here over the years, and the racing is pretty competitive here.
I think you're vitally important. Your horse is vitally important for the race. He definitely adds that other dimension, or that next dimension, to the race on Saturday night. Mate, travel safe, and we'll see you when you get over here.
Thanks very much, Greg. See ya.
There he is, Gary Hall, senior trainer of I'm the Mighty Quinn and also Chicago Bull. I'm the Mighty Quinn was something very special. Of course, Inter Dominions galore and all of those feature races that he won in his career. And Chicago Bull, he's probably had to cover or carry a little bit and shoulder a bit of that weight of being titled Mini Quinny. But interesting, and I would tend to agree that he's not as one-dimensional as Quinny was. Quinny was outstanding at what he did, but this horse, if he does get a good gait, then they can use him at the start. What about Josh Gallagher's rise? He is a young reinsman, and I've spoken with him on the show before. New South Wales young driver. And has come a long way in a very short time. And I was just having a look at the results and the early season standings in the New South Wales Premiership. And you have a look at some of the names that are sitting on top of that Premiership. And they're the regular names that you would expect at this time of the season to be rising up to the top. You know, the names like McCarthy up there, Tritton's up there. But a name that has really shot up the ranks in the early part is young Josh Gallagher. Amanda Turnbull leads the premiership on 21. Todd McCarthy's on 18. And then you've got Brad Elder, Lauren Tritton, and Josh Gallagher all on 12 wins. So it's been a great start to the season for young Josh. And he's joining me on the show to have a chat. Morning, Josh.
Hey, how are you, Hayes?
Mate, really well. What about the start to this season? It's been fantastic for you.
Yeah, no, it's been a good start of the season. Really kicked off real good.
You were able to pick up, was it a treble a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, got my first treble 3 or 4 weeks ago, so I was pretty happy about that.
And what are you doing in terms, I think last time we spoke, you were at school. Is that still the case, or have you left school now?
No, I've left school and joined Kerry and Turner full-time, so working there every day.
And how are you finding full-time work? Is you're settling into that pretty well?
Yeah, nah, it's real good here at the moment, but yeah.
I noticed you picked up a winner on Saturday night there at Newcastle. You drove Nate Braxton for Shannon Harmy. That was a good, strong performance, and the horse won quite comfortably.
Yeah, nah, he's a different horse in front, so yeah, hopefully he can do it again this week.
And what about your license? How's that situated? Are you a Metro driver yet, or are you still racking up drives before you get your Metro license?
I'm still a B grade driver. I just gotta wait till March or February so I can upgrade it to a Metro.
And then we'll be seeing you more at obviously on a Saturday night at Menangle, no doubt.
That's hopefully what I'll be hopefully doing.
Yeah, well, because your claim will become priceless. Do you put anything down to the improvement this season? Is it more experience in races? Are you driving better horses? Why do you think you've had such a strong start to the season?
Robbie and Kerry been putting me on good horses and just getting my name out there. But, yeah, just more experience, I guess.
Well, you're driving extremely well. As mentioned, you're right up there in the premiership, and importantly, you'll go anywhere to get a drive. You're constantly on the highway, so mate, we do wish you all the best of luck going forward, and hopefully that rise up the ranks continues for you.
Yeah, thank you.
There he is, young Josh Gallagher, doing a fantastic job. The name Gallagher synonymous with harness racing in New South Wales. And young Josh is doing a fantastic job. So he's left school. He's now working for Kerri-Ann Turner and Robbie Morris full time, and doing a fair bit of travelling. But picked up his first treble a couple of weeks ago at Newcastle. He drove another winner there on Saturday night. And if you have a look at the list of juniors in New South Wales, I don't think, like, we've had standout juniors for many years, and maybe one stands out more than others, but the list of concession drivers in New South Wales at the moment, very strong. Brad and Josh are obviously leading that premiership at the moment at 12. Mitch Turnbull, Cameron Hart, they're next on the concession list at 9 wins for the season. Jason Grimson's got 8. Chris Geary's got 7. Jack Callaghan, we spoke to him on the show a couple of weeks ago, he's got 6. Dan Morgan's got 6. And then you're down to Pete McRae and Lockie Manzelman, who drove an absolute boomer of a race on Saturday night with Maxi Man. He's on 4. So it just gives you some idea of the depth that we've got in New South Wales at the moment with young drivers. I guess the biggest question mark there's no females, which is a little bit surprising in that top list of concession drivers at the moment in New South Wales, and I've got no doubt that will change going forward. Tonight on In The Gig, we've got a special chat with Gary Hall Sr. Obviously, we just spoke with Gary then, but he'll sit down and do a one-on-one with Gareth Hall, so make sure you stay tuned for that one. We'll have the latest with the barrier draw for the Vic Cup. We'll have a chat about Lazarus as well. That's 6 o'clock on Sky Racing 2. Cozzy, that wraps it up, and I'll be back next Tuesday with a full wrap-up of what happened in the Victoria Cup.
Good on you, Greg Hayes on the pace now. They've just jumped at Rickerton Race 2.
Citrus wide now with the mouth open.